You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. Following us on Instagram with the John and Sherry Show. Sherry spelled S-H-A-R-I. And she's special. And also writing to us as well. And people complain that they don't understand the lyrics to the Sherry song that we had written by the AI computer, Joe. So would you mind singing along?
Sure.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Sherry!
Here comes Sherry with her hot takes. Whoa. She's got big hands, three nipples, and hot takes. She really loves donuts and cupcakes. Sherry also loves dogs, but not kids.
Whoa. That's right, there she is. Whoa.
Wow. Thank you, like Joe.
Like a funeral dirge. Let me get it. All right, Sherry, happy lingerie day to you. Happy panty day.
Yuck.
Not the beer.
Lingerie is French for underwear.
Panties.
Yuck. Gross. It's the worst word ever.
Victoria's Secret's going back to their unbelievably gorgeous models again, by the way. They said, well, maybe one of people want to see like 6 foot tall, 115 pound emaciated women with fake breasts in our lingerie. So they've gone back to it. But it is National Lingerie Day. So celebrate however you think you need to. Okay?
That's good advice, yes. And I'm glad Victoria's Secret has seen the light. Remember when they came out with their almost androgynous line of clothing where... Yeah. Everything was kind of athletic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is weird when you go there, like, next, I got to pick a couple bras or something. So the only seats they have there for, like, guys, they got chairs, nice comfy chairs. They're always positioned, like, right in front of some mannequin, like, in some incredibly racy outfit on. You're always just sitting there staring, like, That's what I ended up saying while I'm sitting there. All right, there's our tribute to National Lingerie Day. Hey, Nate, we have music
yes.
for Nate. We don't even. Oh,
what?
We have music for him?
What?
No, there is no walk-on for him. We don't have
what?
Anything for
him. What are you talking about?
Nathan Detroit. I don't have it. I have it on my screen. Anyway, we're not producing the show for you, Nate. All right, so there we go. So you got a chance to ride on the choo-choo train, the future, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the two line on the east side. It was a lot of fun. I'll be honest with you, I've never ridden even the one line here, so I've never stepped foot on the trains. So this is all new to me. It has that new car smell, the new train smell still.
Oh, but you know, well worth it.
Here was the weird part: the seats are used, like you know, like extra seats. They weren't new.
Yeah.
They were frayed around some edges, and I think one of them had gum stuck to the side.
But, oh, that's good.
Yeah. But you know, there's no fentanyl.
That's to give the impression that if people will use the train,
okay,
there won't be anybody on it, but we'll get seats that make it look like people have been on it at some point.
I beg your pardon, John. I think this is going to be packed. Because you're starting at South Bellevue, basically by the 405 I-90 interchange in that area, right off Bellevue Way, and then it goes out to the Microsoft campus right now. Later on, it'll extend out to Redmond, including Mary Moore Park. And, you know, of course, that's a huge park for not only families but in summertime for the concerts, and you can ditch the traffic. And you, as you know, when you're driving out there, traffic gets really heavy, especially when you're heading to Marymore and Redmond.
Right.
Takes about 90 seconds between each stop.
Got it. Yeah. So you guys rode it, and they made you a big thing. You got did they give you like little stickers and stuff like that you put on and sing about you're on the choo-choo train and this is the future for $50 billion?
Not a damn thing.
At a cost of $250 million a mile?
Mm-mm, nothing.
No. They didn't bring any of that up? That thing's
not
delayed.
Even cookies.
What's the delay on that one? How far behind are they on that one?
I don't know.
10 years or something?
Yeah, it's been a long while.
You tell I'm not a fan when the majority of people will get out of the bus and get on the train, and they expect this thing to carry maybe 5% of the traveling population on a daily basis, especially since Microsoft has now said, if you don't want to come back here, you don't have to come back, right?
Mm.
And right now, the people that are in Bellevue that commute, 1.7% commute by bus. The rest are either walking over or they're driving. So huge, absolute waste of money, the entire thing. The absolute waste of money. They've had five different CEOs, all of them. It's amazing. Every single CEO faces the same problem. Maybe because the whole idea of trying to get people out of their cars and into a train is not something that people want. The same way Victoria's Secret learned that maybe you don't want androgynous looking panties, Sherry.
Ugh. So. How much did they spend on this?
Don't ask.
Oh, don't ask. You don't want to know.
And they couldn't afford even like slip covers or something for the seats.
Slip covers.
Maybe John's onto something. Maybe it's the ambiance they want.
Yeah, that kind of anthropology thing where you buy old, broken down, used things and you feel better about it.
We recycle around here.
That's right. Yeah. Sure. You don't want to know. This thing is the biggest corruption crime syndicate, that entire Sound Transit thing. It's what a waste of money. They even admit it. Like, look, it's not going to reduce traffic. No, people are going to get out of the bus and get on the train. So other people are still in their cars. And the I-90 bridge, that is going to slow down traffic as well, because you're going to have trains going back and forth. They got rid of the HOV. Expect to see times go up of how long it'll take to commute back and forth as the completely almost empty trains go back and forth across the I-90 bridge. Never been done before to have all of that weight on that bridge. It will be interesting to see as those two trains pass one another at 25 miles an hour, what happens. Well, the nice thing is no one will get hurt if there is a crash, because there won't be anybody on it. All right. Anything else you want to say about it?
I don't think so.
They sucked you in there for propaganda. No, I'm not upset. I'm not upset. I don't have to pay for it. It's all the people in Seattle and King County that vote yes for it. They like the idea of a train.
You don't think it's cool when you're riding above traffic, bumper to bumper traffic?
Oh, it's cool. $250 million a mile? Absolutely, it's cool. $50 billion? You could do with $50 billion for all this Sound Transit stuff? Why a train? Why a train? Why not a bus? They don't want buses. Oh, because buses aren't cool, but trains are so cool.
Well, buses get stuck in traffic. Trains don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. That's right. Yep. So
how about that?
Screw the drivers. They're the ones who are paying for this thing. And we already know that they don't recoup the fares, so they had to hire a couple of security guards. Did you meet the police that are going to be on board?
No, not the officers, no.
Did they charge you for this ride, or are you able to slip off like everybody else does?
I snuck in.
Did you have to scrape the gum off the seat?
No.
Or did they do that for you?
Well, it was my gum. Turns out that was my gum.
Okay. All right. So you're all in. Look at they bought you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sold. I'm going to ride it every weekend.
You are not.
Yeah. I'm going to ride it with them.
Oh, okay, guys. There. Good.
I'm going to fly into town just to be able to ride with those guys.
You know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be flying over your head, because China now has China is now mass producing flying taxi cabs, right? That's the other thing out there. Yeah. This is what I said. The future is not a train. It's not a train. The future will be people being able to teleport through different things. You can be able to have somebody appear from you in a screen. Have you seen how people are now appearing in giant screens from reality? You can actually talk to the person. They're appearing right in front of you through Zoom calls. People are not wanting to possibly go to the office. The entire thing has been completely broken. It was broken prior to the COVID lockdowns, but now that people have completely sort of readjusted how they live and where they work, this is the giant boondoggle that my dear departed Dory Monson said, it's now coming to light. And it is an absolute waste of money. But here's who gets paid. The unions get paid. They love it, right? The unions make a lot of money on this sort of stuff. Plus, when you are the developer and you get a sweetheart deal to put a building right there on the line, next to the line, you also make a nice little bit of money as well. So as all this stuff goes in there, you get the dollars and everything. They love it. It's a big, gigantic make work program for everybody. And who pays? Well, the driver pays that's sitting in traffic, because the lanes have been removed from the I-90. So you have increased cost to you sitting in your car, plus increased cost to the trucking industry, because while they sit, it costs more every single minute that they're sitting there. That's an increased cost for delivery that you will pay when finally the thing makes the product makes it to market after the truck has been sitting in the I-90 bridge waiting to possibly get into Seattle. The whole thing, giant waste. But Nate got a chance to ride on it.
Yeah, thanks, Nate.
Punch him out with that song. I can't, for some reason, it's not playing on my computer. Get him out of here. All right, Nate, talk to you a little later on.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right,
play that song
either.
Get him out of here.
I don't know why.
What the heck's wrong? He doesn't want to hear.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right.
I'm going to sing that one, too.
I've already had him already. He's already talked about that. Washington ranks among the most dangerous state in the country. I talked to Spike and Jack about this. I saw later on, after we were talking about it, that apparently this study is from like 2 years ago, but still where were we? Washington State is what, eighth in the country?
Eighth. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Eighth overall. Yeah,
they've
for crime, violent crime and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, 81% rate increase.
Okay.
And
again, the numbers,
number one,
I think the numbers are from 2022. Are they 2022 numbers? But we know they're up and people know they're up. And then the fact that how you compare it to other states, you can't really get a good data count because some cities don't report, others do report, some states do report, some states don't report to the FBI. So the numbers are kind of all over the place. But yeah, crime is up. People know that.
This is a weird one, though. They say it's the highest larceny and theft rate in the country. 179,000 were reported. And the other one that ranks very, very high is kidnapping and abduction. 16 accounts, incidents per 100,000. Which is like the highest.
Do you think that should be higher or lower? Do you expect it to be higher or lower on that one?
You don't. Well, I mean, kidnapping seems just sort of odd. I mean, you don't really hear about kidnapping.
I think if it's a parent taking a kid from another parent when the court has said that parent doesn't have rights to that child, that could possibly be swept into that number. I'm just guessing. I like the fact, the story of the woman that hit a pothole and now she's suing because she's had what kind of problems? She says that now she claims a Portland pothole gave her a dramatic brain injury and she's looking for $3.6 million.
Right. Yeah. She said that they should have known that this pothole was there. She couldn't see it from the road when she was driving. She hit it she wore a seatbelt. She was going the speed limit. She hit it and it was so dramatic of a bump that she lunged up into the car. She hit her head. She got a concussion, a traumatic brain injury. She tore her rotator cuff. She's got thousands of dollars in medical bills and expects to have about $100,000 more as she continues to get treatment for this pothole injury.
And did the city know that the hole was there?
Well, there's an old story about Mayor Schaefer in Baltimore. And he was the mayor a long, long time ago. And there's so many potholes in Baltimore that he would say.
No, you haven't.
What he would say is he'd tell the transportation people or the crews, I found a pothole. I went over a pothole on my way to work today. And that's all he would say. And they would have to go out and find that pothole that they thought he wanted to have filled because there were so many of them. And I mean, they can't keep up. That's the thing. Even the cities that have these pothole, hotlines, which I think Seattle does, they just can't keep up with it. They're just there. There's no way to know.
The pothole rangers, they were called. They would run out and do it. And there were some people that would take it into their own hands and go out there and fill the pothole with, rocks and sand and stuff like that. And then they would get fined. It's like, no, you can't do that. You got to leave that hole just like it is. They do that. I was trying to find out whether or not you can charge or at least get your money back from the city or the state on a pothole. I don't think you can. You're going to report them to the insurance, but they be good luck saying, you owe me a new tire because they've got a pothole there in the road, and try to keep up with them as much as they possibly can. I wonder if that woman has a case. I know sometimes on bike lanes that if there's a gigantic, break in the sidewalk that they've known about it for a while and they tell you to ride on the sidewalk or ride in the lane and then you hit that thing. I think you can bring a case. I don't know if she can or not. Yeah. Should have looked that one up, but she's suing for $3.6 million. Torn rotator cuff.
Yeah. She said she's been on medical leave for about 2 years now.
Yeah. Some lawyer will call in and tell us whether or not she's got a case. And finally, you will have a case against grizzly bears because they're back. They're back in the Cascades. Cairo 7 says that they've put them back in there because, we need to have grizzly bears. And here we go. If we get a chance to have a grizzly bear somewhere in Cascade Mountains. They're not quite sure how many will be out there, but is it grizzly bears you're supposed to? I think grizzly bears, it's not make yourself look big, because then they're just like, oof, I hope I didn't eat breakfast because I'm going to have to consume all of that in front of me, the bear says. I think you just lay down, you cover your head and your internal organs, and then just let it slowly gnaw away your spinal cord. Isn't that what they say? They say it, but they make it rhyme somehow.
I don't, if, okay, grizzly bear, act like you're not there, black bear. I don't know.
Act like you're not there. Just go, how's that happen? So the bear's in front of you.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
But they're putting in 3 to 7 grizzly bears per year, and hopefully they're going to grow the population to about 25.
If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back.
I thought if it's yellow, let it mellow.
That's something else.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's cover your head and toes. Try and then say a prayer and kiss your ass goodbye. I think that's the total thing that they say for the grizzly bear.
That's it.
Gosh. Get Nate back on to talk about his train ride. Should be all excited today. There she is. She's back. She got a better attitude. I talked to her after the show yesterday. And even though she's not able to become Employee of the Week, she's ready to give it her all. Teeny, thank you. Teeny's going to get those letters. There you go. She's going to get those letters and come pouring in there at MyNorthWest.com. Or what do you know? They're coming also into Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. 1-888-973-5476. Oh, well, look at that. We got an email from Governor Inslee's people. They would like to talk to us about the ferry and why they're going to go electric ferry instead of the other one. I guess they were listening to the show. They said, we heard your show yesterday morning. It's like, close enough.
Close enough.
They actually sent it this afternoon.
We have a show in the morning.
Noon, and said, we heard your show this morning. So, yeah.
Did
this
you morning. Check okay. and make sure they were it. Talking mm-hmm. about that subject this morning on, you know.
Yeah, no. I know
Seattle's
exactly
morning news. Okay.
I'm not sure old Jay heard it, but somebody heard it. He got wind of it.
Got it. Move on. all right. Got wind of it. Illinois woman files class action lawsuit against Target for collecting the biometric data without her consent. Yeah, everybody's collecting data on everybody all the time without your consent and then taking it and selling it to a bunch of people. But why does she have a problem with Target?
Well, because in Illinois, they have a law that you have to get written consent if you're going to do facial recognition or some sort of biometric information. Now, biometric information is different than your social security number or all of those other things that you want to keep private. So she claims that Target took her picture or got this information. And part of the law says that you have the right to sue if this is true. Now, you have a right to sue if they just neglected to tell you. That's about $1,000 that you can get out of it. $5,000 if they intended to do it and didn't tell you.
Uh-huh. Okay. So she's concerned that they're collecting her data. You know, they know where you are. They know where you are in the store. They know how long you're looking in the store. Your phone sends you prompts if you've been looking to buy something and you have to walk down the aisle and all of a sudden, no, look, there it is. Or you're searching for something. They are tracking you every which way you could possibly imagine or not imagine. But people seem to be okay with that. They're like, I'll give up some of that freedom if I know that I can compare prices or find something faster. The fact that I thought this one was really an invasion of your privacy, that the computers on board your car, was it Nextar? Was it whatever that one is?
OnStar.
Sends information to the insurance companies. Does it say that they're going to be sending that stuff? Or is it just a deal cut out between the computer on board your car and the insurance companies? Because the insurance companies know that you're not exactly honest with them. How much do you drive every day? Oh, no more than 8 miles, right? You know, they know that's not true. So they're basing what they're going to be charging your insurance on, you know, from a bunch of, you know, horse hockey or bull feathers or something. Because people always, you know, yeah, we don't drive that. I only drive it 3 times a week. But when you get in the car all the time, the insurance company now knows, oh, we see. You're driving it more than you say you are. You're not being honest with us. So therefore, you know, we're going to have to try to get this information somewhere else. I saw that case just came up a couple days ago where the onboard computers were contacted the insurance companies to rat you out. And they do an incentive. They're like, look, if you let us follow you, if you let us watch how fast you drive, how quickly you brake, you know, changing lanes, if you let us really watch how you drive, we'll give you a discount on your insurance. That's for the driver that knows they're very careful. Because if not, you know, you're weaving out, accelerating, fast brakes. They're like, ooh, look at that. That's going to cost you, and that will cost you. So they would follow you. Would you give that up, Sherry? Would you let them track you in order to get better insurance rates?
No.
Ooh.
Not like that. No. Obviously. No, because, you know, you really don't know how they're measuring all of this. You think you're a safe driver, but by their metrics, you could be an aggressive driver or something like that. And car insurance is so expensive now that I really wouldn't want to take a risk like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Well, how about the fact that your television is spying on you? You okay with that?
Well, it's not exactly yet spying on you. I mean, yes, do they know what you're watching? Of course. Are they tracking that? Sure. Mm-hmm. That's how they can come up. Like if you have Netflix, they can make suggestions for you based on what you've watched previously. But is it really that they are spying on you and they're going to start to lecture you about what you should and shouldn't be watching? I don't think so. In this article, they talk about the fact that, you know, if you watch too many shows about serial killers, the local authorities might be might be called. That's just not. That's I don't believe that.
But look, do try to. About 10 years ago, Tom and I talked about this, that Kindle was going back to authors and saying to the authors of books, look at that. Most people seem to give up around page 212. They slow down their reading. They're not reading as often, and they don't complete the book. Would you consider possibly rewriting starting from page 208 onward in order to have more people read your book? Because we can show you the data that they're bailing out right here. And Tom and I both thought that was terrible. Tom was more upset by it than I was. He said, you don't say that to an artist, to a novelist, that, you know, you write the book and too bad, if you don't like it, then that's you giving up on it. And I said, well, don't you think maybe that person would want them to read the rest of the book? And maybe, because you don't get a chance to really, when it comes to a movie, they show movies, they do the things, and everybody sits there with a little clicker. Are you more excited or less excited? So they know how to write the movie so people like it. A novelist just sits there in his house, or she sits there and just pounds the thing out, hoping that it's okay. But then the public buys the book and then gives up halfway through. I think, I don't know, if you weren't insulted by the data that we're giving you, you're like, huh, I was kind of struggling after page 208. I kind of just sort of phoned it in for the next 200 pages. So, yeah, maybe I should change a few things around. If you were a novelist, would you want that? Would you change stuff? You said, that's my work. I'm leaving it as it is.
Well, they already bought the book, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I already got their money. So chances are I'm not going to reinvent the wheel if it's already a done deal.
Yeah, okay. Don't reinvent the wheel if it's already a done deal.
Wow.
Look at you. That could be a lyric for one of your songs there, Sherry.
Oh, I hope so. Maybe
finally, the fact
one.
That people track everybody on People tracking everybody on everything. The couple decides they want to get Fitbits, and they agree that we're going to keep track of each other. And I'll see on my Fitbit will show me how much you're working out, your heart rate, your resting pulse, and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. So I'll see what you've got. You see what I get. We'll both make each other accountable to how many steps we take, or how many calories, or how our sleep is. So he's not there. I guess they're not married. And, all of a sudden, she looks down at her phone or her Fitbit, and she notices this guy's heart rate is accelerating at 4 o'clock in the morning. She realizes, hey, this is kind of weird. What kind of exercise is he doing at 4 in the morning, especially on this lingerie day?
There was one woman that also caught her boyfriend or husband cheating, and the way that she knew he was cheating was that his heart rate went up for about 1 minute, and that was all.
That's cheating.
Couldn't he have been alone?
He's cheating
though?
Two women at the same time. He's cheating the woman he's not with and the woman he is with.
It's true.
I don't like Nick's just saying to me, hey, can you give me your location? Can you send me your location on the phone so I can see where you are? No. No. Not doing that. He goes, why not? Why not? Why can't I know? I said, I just don't agree with that.
Do you have her information?
Nope. Don't want it. Don't need it. And she's always sending it to me. Here you can see so I don't get, like, you know, eaten by a bear or something. Okay. So, like, knowing where you are is going to stop you from being eaten by a bear or going off the highway or something. I'll find you.
Eventually.
Yeah.
One day.
Come on. Joe asked the other day, said he hadn't heard the story about because I've interviewed Donald Trump twice, met him once on the street in New York. When I interviewed him once, we're sitting there waiting for the lights to get adjusted. He's selling his book. And I said, we've met before, have we? And he sort of looked at me and I said, yeah, you were walking by. It was like at 68th and 10th or I forget 11th, somewhere in there. And you walked by with like two other guys. I remember you had a big camel hair coat on, and I know you don't like people. So you stopped just briefly when you saw me standing there because I was giving out peanuts. I was dressed as Mr. Peanut. I'm in this giant Mr. Peanut costume that really smelled. It was really, really heavy. It was made of asbestos and chicken wire and a whole bunch of other stuff. I was working for this guy named Mr. Z and Mrs. Z. Never knew the last name, but both of them had scars that went from just below their ear around the other ear, and they both called it the incident. They both had an incident. They were from some other country I couldn't quite track down. But the store was one of those crappy commercial stores. You've seen those, Sherry. They sell like the Statue of Liberty foam hat head. And then you got the, you know, the snow globes and the electronics. And
Statue
then like
of
a
Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. And then they sell a bunch of knives and all. It's a whole big crap store of stuff to be sold. And Mr. Z said he had him in a peanut costume and I could wear that. He said, you wear that and you give out peanuts. So I had a thing of peanuts, and Donald Trump walked by. I gave him the thing. He opened them up, poured them into his hand, threw the whole thing in his mouth, and he said,
yeah, I guess why not?
And then he said, then you said to me, Donald, you said, make the peanuts saltier, give them away for free, but then charge $5 for a Coke and you got something. And Donald Trump looked at me and goes, and did you do that? And I said, no, I didn't do that. How was I going to do that? He goes, I gave you a great idea. You should have done that. I said, I know. I should have done that, but I didn't. I was just a guy making $9 an hour in a giant peanut costume.
I know words. I had the best words.
I know you did. But the problem was, how am I going to open the bag of peanuts and like pour more salt into them and then give out an open bag of peanuts to strangers on the street, even though I'm dressed as Mr. Peanut? With the cane and everything, looking through the giant bow tie to see people's reactions. And he's like, you could have made something. You could have really been, you know, you could have really made some money. I said, yeah, okay, I didn't. You're right. And now I'm stuck here having to interview you. So you're absolutely right.
Terrible person.
Exactly. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. Yeah. And then I got beaten up on the street. When I was giving peanuts out and these guys came by, like four or five kids came by and they wanted more peanuts. I was like, no, one bag. I was like, well, you know how it is, Sherry. You're in that big thing. One bag each. And the kid knocked me down, then took my cane and beat me in the legs with my cane and ripped my tights.
Oh, boy. That would have been great TikTok movie or TikTok reel.
There you go.
Boom. Oh, look at you. There you go. Exactly. I mean, Trump was so – and then – when the interview is over, then he turns to this guy who comes in. He goes, tell him about the money-making idea I gave you. I was just Mr. Peanut, and I was giving out peanuts. And Donald said, if you give the make this peanut saltier, then give those for free, but they charge more for the Coke. And the guy says, sounds like you're poisoning people. And I said, man, that does sound like you're poisoning people. No. He should have done that because you see how he could have made money. He could have made a lot of money on the Coke, right? And get the thing. You could have made a lot of money on that. I'm like, Donald, I was in a giant peanut costume. Why do they make change for people?
Where are you going to keep the Coke?
What the hell are you doing out there in the first place? I don't know. I think the guy thought it was going to bring people into his store that if I was dressed as Mr. Peanut, he'd gotten the costume somewhere and he needed somebody to wear it. So,
yeah, I was going to say that there wasn't much of a connection with the souvenir store and the peanut.
Right. No, not at all. Other than the fact Mr. Z somehow got the costume, which weighed like 75 pounds, and I had to lay down in it, and then Mr. Z and Mrs. Z would pull me up into it. I'd have to lift my arms up, and then one of them would put their foot on the chest of Mr. Peanut as they slid me from the floor up into the costume, and then both of them lifted me up into the thing.
It's not describable.
You're right. What a crappy job. I wanted to be a Chipwich guy, but for some reason the guy didn't like me and didn't give me the job.
If you're not happy here, then you can leave.
Okay, fine. Then you know what? I will.